This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Good morning, Notre Dame fans. Should say good afternoon or good evening whenever you are tuning in to today's recruiting update with myself, Mike Singer, and my sidekick at Blue and Gold, Kyle Kelly. Just appreciate you guys making us a part of your day, whether you're watching live, watching back, or listening to this via podcast. Man, 12 days away from National Signing Day. Feels like it's just around the corner, but also it just eons away because, man, it just seems like hour by hour crazy things happening in the world of college football. Although it has been a little bit more quiet in terms of news these past couple days for at least from a Notre Dame perspective, but still I'm expecting more news certainly in the days to come. Kyle Kelly, how are you doing, my friend? How's everything going this week for you, man?
Well, besides almost knocking over this ring light, pretty good. yeah, it feels like the transfer portal craziness has kind of died down as from a Notre Dame perspective. I know last week at this time, our heads were kind of spinning with all the entries. I think 12 guys are in the portal from Notre Dame by now. One guy committed, Chris Tyree, back home to UVA. But right now, just kind of monitoring what's coming out of the Goog. And South Bend, Indiana, see if there might be some white smoke of a new quarterback commitment, new wide receiver commitment. There's going to be a D lineman on campus this weekend. And I know we're going to be talking about a 2025 class offensive lineman who's also going to be on campus, which will be the feature of our recruiting show here. But be remiss if we didn't touch on a little bit of transfer portal, which I think will kind of loop into this morning's show.
Yeah, definitely. So three visitors on campus midweek that we know about. Duke quarterback Riley Leonard, of course, who we all expect to end up at Notre Dame. Clemson receiver Bo Collins, who I think the Irish look good there. And then Josh Kelly from Washington State, who seems to be not done with his recruiting process, believe. Heading to Texas Tech, and I want to say On3's Pete Nakos reported another potential visit. Do you remember that, Kyle?
Yeah, Utah. I think that's coming after Texas Tech. And our guy Pete Nakos has just been killing it. I think he added a note that Utah is one of the teams to watch. I know Kelly's primarily been on the West Coast for most of his life. So
yeah,
wouldn't be surprised to see him hang out that way.
Yeah, and then RJ Oben. A teammate of Riley Leonard's over at Duke visiting campus today. And then Mitch Jeter is a South Carolina kicker who Notre Dame is very much tracking. So Notre Dame is doing this one-year rental just over and over again at the kicker position. I think that's the way to go. You don't really need to develop kickers. Like, you just go get one every single year. It's not like you really need to do that. Or like other positions you want to develop and grow from within. Why not just take the best kicker every year and just, yeah. So I do like that from Notre Dame. So Marcus Freeman and company on the road this week, and I believe they're coming off the road today. I would certainly expect Freeman to be back in South Bend today for RJ Oben's visits. And I wanted to touch on quickly before we dive into our first topic was Marcus Freeman and Chad Bowden in Southern California yesterday. They were really all over the place Thursday. They started in Nebraska, seeing Teddy Rezac, a 2024 linebacker commit for the Fighting Irish, went out to Northern California for a visit with a four-star receiver, Logan Saldate, an Irish commit in the 24 class, and then ended the evening with an in-home visit. The Viliamuasa household, of course, 2024 linebacker pledge, Kingston Viliamuasa, pictured here for folks watching on YouTube. You see this. You got Marcus Freeman on the left, Chad Bowden on the right, and then Viliamuasa, elite linebacker, standing there in the middle. You know, I guess Irish fans been really following Kingston's social media activity, and he's liked some posts. Like, you can take that for what it is, or you can read his mom's tweet here. We are so very excited that Kingston will be in South Bend very soon and the opportunity for him to attend the University of Notre Dame. So you guys can, think he's going to Ohio State based on some Twitter likes or something. Just might be a 17-year-old kid trying to have some fun with you guys, or the word from the mom that going to Notre Dame. I'll let you guys decide that, but I tend to think that he is locked in with the Fighting Irish. So that is Kingston Viliamuasa, number 61 overall player, number 6 linebacker, recently ranked as a 5-star prospect according to Rivals. So congrats to KVA on being ranked a 5-star according to Rivals. Let's dive into definitely one topic of today's show is, I mean, Notre Dame in the 24 class is mostly wrapped up. It's just transfer portal recruiting and you know, make sure the guys like Kingston, like Aeneas Williams, who Missouri would love to flip down the stretch. It's really, again, just keeping those guys committed and get some, what, half dozen or so transfer portal guys. 2025 recruiting does not stop, and Notre Dame is going to have some players on campus next weekend for bowl practices. And Blue and Gold reported on Thursday that Will Black from Connecticut will be one of those prospects. 4-star offensive tackle, 6'7", 285 pounds, ranks as the number 314 overall prospect, number 23 offensive tackle in America. Considered a heavy Michigan lean at this point. Do we have a prediction from an On3 writer? Let's see. Yes. Our Michigan On3 recruiting guy predicted Black to end up at Michigan. But he told me he grew up a Notre Dame fan. When I interviewed him over the summer, at least grew up following the Fighting Irish very closely. So Black visited Michigan for the Ohio State game. And that's the only fall visit he took because his team plays on Saturdays. So, you know, season wraps up, was able to go to Michigan, Ohio State, but otherwise has not really been able to hit the road. He did camp at Notre Dame in June, got an offer from Marcus Freeman. So we talk a lot, Kyle, about, you know, Matty Augustine, Owen Strebig, as some of the big offensive tackle targets for Notre Dame in the 25 cycle. Will Black's name does not come up as much because he hasn't been to campus in half of a year, but he's definitely a big target for the Fighting Irish.
Yeah, I'd say so. He camped back in June, and as you mentioned, really wasn't able to get to campus this football season because high school team playing on Saturdays, but sounds like he had a pretty good visit to Michigan for the game against Ohio State. And sorry, we're getting messages coming in. I don't know if people hear our Slack messages, but so Wolverines seem to have the edge going in to the winter here for Will Black. I know our folks over at the Wolverine did some reporting on his recruitment after his most recent visit to Michigan, basically said that Michigan was his number one school. And he also, if I'm not mistaken, he mentioned Michigan was a team he followed and was a fan of growing up. So maybe like to one, more than one college football team. So this would be a, it seems like kind of, I don't want to put it in the terms of a make or break visit for Notre Dame, but I think this upcoming visit, I think you have it reported for next weekend, December 16th. That could really decide the path of this recruitment. If he keeps Notre Dame in it, possibly commit to Notre Dame. I know this is a guy we've kind of talked about in the past that, you know, we've kind of penciled in Notre Dame's class at times just because his love for the Irish and kind of his comments coming out of that June camp visit. But sounds like Wolverines are the team to beat going into South Bend next weekend. We'll see if Notre Dame can make a move.
Definitely. All right. So, yeah, we've talked about some transfer stuff. Kingston Villanueva and Will Black to start today's show. And next, let's hear from our sponsors over at Prize Picks. Yeah, you pick two or more players from any sport, pick more or less on their projected stats. You have flex plays where if you still, you know, miss on a pick, you can still win, and power plays which have higher payouts, but you must get all of your picks right. You put in six players on a power play, you can win 25 times your money. So not the greatest odds there to hit that, but hey, the power plays are a ton of fun. I love the flex plays. About what, an hour after we wrap up today's show, there will be Flex Friday, which is a cool promotion where it's basically a protected play. So if you don't hit, you get your money back. I love Prize Picks. Certainly it makes watching some of these games that you have your entries on even more enjoyable. And the best thing is if you use the promo code BGI, you will get 100% instant deposit match up to $100. So you put in 50, Prize Picks is going to give you 50 in bonus money. You put in 100, they'll give you 100. So head to prizepicks.com. Make sure you use that promo code BGI. And this, I mean, tons of sports, guys. NBA, NHL, NFL, soccer, MMA, boxing, Call of Duty, tennis. I mean, the list goes on and on. So check it out over at prizepicks.com. And then looking at some entries, Kyle, there was a, they have also have a deal on Taco Tuesday where they will reduce a player's projection. So some NHL goalie, we had a nice little, you know, $20 power play hit there that we really like to see. And then you get some ones that are that kind of sting. Jamar Chase for this would have been Sunday and Monday. Yeah, Jamar Chase, we hit the over on his more of 60.5 receiving yards. And then Darren Fox had the more on 34.5 points and assists, and he ended up with 34. That one stung. That was a $30 entry that would have netted me an extra $60. Did not feel great about that one. I'm on the edge of my seats refreshing Sacramento Kings and, you know, Golden State Warriors game, or excuse me, New Orleans Pelicans game the other night, which I would usually not be doing if I didn't have my prize pick. So a lot of fun, you know, play responsibly, all that good stuff. Yeah, definitely. If you're interested, check out prizepicks.com. Use promo code BGI, 100% instant match up to $100. Okay, moving along, little Mike and Kyle discussions here on how does Notre Dame going into the portal affect quarterback recruiting? So every Thursday, I text my boy Kyle and say, hey, Kyle, when you talk about the show tomorrow? And this is something that you wanted to talk about, Mr. Kelly. So how does going into the portal affect quarterback recruiting? What was on your mind here?
Yeah, it's just kind of become a hot topic with Notre Dame going to the portal. Would you call it three of the last four seasons? 2022 they didn't. 21 they had Jack Cohn. Yep. 23 Hartman, and 24 is Notre Dame's hoping for Riley Leonard, the former Duke passer who visited on Wednesday and Thursday. So I think this is one of the questions on the front of Notre Dame fans' minds. I know that's a a question I got from a Notre Dame fan via text message yesterday, wondering how this might affect the stance of CJ Carr and Deuce Knight's verbal commitments. Because I think at some point, Notre Dame's got to rely on their quarterback development. It seems like, you know, Steven Jelly, who is going to be entering year three of the program, might not be given much of a chance to start if Riley Leonard's coming in. And same case with Kenny Minchie, who will be a sophomore. And I know last year at this time, you know, Steven Jelly basically didn't get a chance, obviously, because Sam Hartman took over the reins. So a lot of these homegrown passers from you know, Notre Dame haven't really gotten the opportunity to pioneer the program. And I know this is something that former Ohio State coach Urban Meyer spoke about publicly earlier this football season, basically questioning Notre Dame's, you know, quarterback recruiting just because they haven't had a guy start in so long. So I guess I kind of want to summarize my thought by saying that, you know, I know we've talked to CJ Carr about this in the past, or at least I have, when we went and saw him about a little over a month ago, when some of the conversation about Notre Dame dipping back in the portal was starting to surface. And, you know, I think it was it's important to note that CJ's okay with it. He's saying that right now as a freshman, but I can't imagine that as a sophomore he would be thrilled. Like, I can't imagine Steven Jelly and Kenny Minchie are overly ecstatic about, you know, maybe their chances to start next season are dwindling away with Leonard's possible addition. But, yeah, it was just something I've been thinking about over the last few days. If there should be a concern that, you know, Notre Dame's quarterback recruiting might not matter, or are we going to start to see this across the college football landscape? You know, what's it going to look like over the next few years? I think a lot of schools are facing this similar issue.
Yeah. At the end of the day, Notre Dame has to get the best quarterback on the field that it can, whether that's a high school player or that they recruited, or a transfer portal guy. And that's why they brought in Sam Hartman last year. That's why they're looking to bring in Riley Leonard this year. I mean, you can kind of say whatever you want, but that's just the truth of the matter. If they were like, all right, we just want Steve Angeli, or we want Kenny Minchie, or we want CJ Carr to start against Texas A&M, then they would do that. But clearly at this point, that's not what they want. They want to bring in Riley Leonard. Now, the thing is, Notre Dame does want to develop from within on the quarterback spot. So that's like they don't want to go to the portal every single year, but they feel like they have to right now. Like, that's just kind of as simple as, like, that's just what it is. It's not ideal, but that's what they want to do. Like, that's, and does it kind of deter high school recruits coming to Notre Dame? Like, could another school negatively recruit against the Fighting Irish to say, oh, they're never going to play you, they just bring in transfer portal guys? Notre Dame has to have a good sales pitch to deflect on that, right? Like, we just would say, hey, we're doing that because we don't have you. Like, that's kind of the rebuttal that Notre Dame would have. So, yeah, that's I mean, this has obviously been a hot discussion on our YouTube page here, Kyle, for about a year now, you know, with Mike Goolsbee and Tim Hyde and myself, and, you know, all of us at Blue and Gold, really. So, yeah, until Notre Dame. But listen, it's not like Notre Dame did not just try to play their own guy last year, and Tyler Buchner, and that was the goal. It's just Buchner got hurt, and Notre Dame decided to move to a different quarterback last year because, again, they wanted to improve the position. So, yeah, that's kind of my stance on it, man.
Here's what I'm kind of wondering, though. Don't you think if there was a year for Notre Dame to hand the program over to one of their own guys, this year would be the one? I think Notre Dame's schedule is a little bit weaker than this year, and they have the 12-team playoff now. So I feel like Notre Dame could maybe get by and
I would say the opposite. Because it's a weaker schedule and you have the 12-team playoff, why don't you just guarantee that you can get yourself in there? You know? And I mean, look, I push back on the whole schedule is weaker thing, because what does that really matter? Notre Dame was better than Marshall and Stanford last year. He still lost. Do you think Notre Dame's a better program than Louisville, like, or a better team than Louisville? Yeah, you still lost. So I don't really give a rat's ass about the schedule's weak or not. You still got to win your games. Texas A&M on the road is still going to be a difficult game, in my opinion. Like, things can develop that make the schedule more difficult than it appears right now. No one would have thought Louisville would have been, you know, a very difficult test. I mean, Tim Hyde kind of did. It was like, oh, they're more trip-up games. But no, Duke and Louisville were like real teams for the Fighting Irish to, like, those were very close, tight games. So, whereas you might have think, oh, it's the big three games for Notre Dame, Clemson, USC, and Ohio State, and the rest of them are going to be cakewalks. I kind of push back on the week schedule thing, because it might just be how it appears on paper.
Interesting. I kind of feel like a one-loss Notre Dame team is pretty much going to get in every year. And I think two-loss Notre Dame team is going to be in the conversation. I forget where they're ranked right now, but I think they're a couple spots out with three losses. So that's why I'm like it's kind of getting – I know for some fans a little bit tired of – seeing the portal quarterbacks, and I think, I don't know, man. I know some people want to see CJ Carr right away, but
yeah.
I don't know. And Notre Dame hasn't started a true freshman since Tommy Rees. And I can't remember if that was injury related. I think so. I know Tommy came and went many times as a starting quarterback at Notre Dame with guys coming in and out, but yeah. Notre Dame doesn't really have a true freshman start at quarterback, so
yeah,
it's gonna end sometime though. So next year we'll be curious.
Yeah, quick shout out to the Miami Dolphins, number one team in the AFC. How about that? Still haven't really beaten anybody good, but besides that, all right. Yeah, so quarterbacks always going to be a hot topic. So are the receivers, Kyle. Another thing that you wanted to talk about with me is, you know, let's break down this 24 receiver class. It is outstanding. What do you think about the potential of these guys playing right away, considering the Irish already have a commitment from Chris Mitchell, who looks to be that, like, field receiver, speedy guy, potentially bringing in Bo Collins, who looks like he could be a boundary receiver, you know. It's not the biggest guy from, like, a physical standpoint, but, like, tall. I think he could be a really good boundary receiver for the Irish, a steady performer for years from Clemson. I was a huge Bo Collins fan when Notre Dame was recruiting him in the 2021 class, and I think he's had a solid little career at Clemson. And then, you know, you return Jaden Thomas. You return Deion Colsey. What does that look – of course, Jaden Greathouse, Jordan Faison. What does the outlook look like for Notre Dame with the 24 receiver class? Can any of these guys play as true freshmen? Kyle, what do you think about Cam Williams?
Yeah, this is the one that, you know, Notre Dame fans print out that 24 recruiting class and post it up on their desks. They're going to have Cam Williams circled bright pink or yellow or something highlighter, because he's the crown jewel of this Notre Dame 24 recruiting class. He's a crown jewel of the receiver position at Notre Dame for a number of years, going back all the way to 2008, pretty much, when Notre Dame had Michael Floyd in the fold. So this is the one Notre Dame fans have been excited about for a while, and I think rightfully so, with Cam being a five-star guy, at least per the On3 industry ranking. He looks like a five-star, too. I've seen him play a couple times. Or I've seen him in person a few times. I've only seen him play once, but he is legit, and it's pretty exciting to think about what he could bring to the Notre Dame offense, especially from a speed aspect. I think that Notre Dame's kind of been looking or missing a guy that can stretch the field I think they maybe thought they hadn't Tobias Merriweather. I know during his freshman year, he had the one long touchdown catch, and that was pretty much it. And that was kind of a glimpse of what was supposed to be of Tobias, but never came to fruition. I think Notre Dame's hoping that, or at least the fans certainly are, for Cam to be that guy that can take off the top of the defense. And I know you said Chris Mitchell is a little bit of a speedier guy, and I've kind of gotten that sense as well, but I still think Cam has got an extra gear. And I don't know if Chris Mitchell is going to be one of those guys that can really take the top of the off the defense.
I hope so. He's like a 4.3, 4.4 guy.
He's not 4.3, but maybe high 4.4s. But anyway,
I'm just telling you what I was told by my sources, 4.3, 4.4 guys. What I was told.
Dang. Well, if that's a, he doesn't look like that in film, at least. I mean, when I think 4.3, I'm thinking of your boy Jaden Waddle.
Yeah, I don't know about 4.3 either, but I'm just saying like that. That's what they say, 4.3, 4.4.
Yeah,
and it's also one of those things that's like, oh, you know, how do, you know, how's Drew Pine listed at 6'1 by Rivals going into his junior year, and then he gets to Notre Dame, he's 5'11. Is, you know, who knows? But he, I would say he can take the top off the defense, but we'll see.
Yeah, but I will say, as for as much excitement there is to see Cam Williams, and I know Notre Dame's got two other really exciting wide receivers coming in, and Micah Gilbert from Charlotte Christian and Logan Saldate from Salinas Palma out in California. I kind of don't want to see those guys next year, believe it or not. I'll get my healthy dose of Cam Williams, but I think we're starting to reach a point where Notre Dame needs to rely on some of these younger guys. I mean, it was a little bit different last year because of the injuries to Cole, ZJ, and Thomas, et cetera, Matt Salerno. So I'm really hoping Notre Dame can pick up two or three guys from the portal. They can see some development with, you know, Jaden Greathouse, Jordan Faison, get some more opportunities for those guys. Because I don't think the freshman wide receiver experience went extremely well with Notre Dame last year. I mean, Faison had some moments. Greathouse had some moments, was hurt. Unfortunately, Flores is gone now. Braylon didn't work out. Braylon James. So that's kind of where my head's at with the Notre Dame wide receivers. I think that if Riley Leonard is going to come to Notre Dame, he's going to need some experienced guys that are going to catch football for him. He's going to want to put the best tape out there for the NFL execs, put himself in position to get drafted. And I'm not exactly sure these freshman wide receivers are going to be the ones that do it from day one. I think they all bring a unique skill set to the table. But I'm kind of at the point where I want to see Notre Dame continue to invest in the portal at the receiver position. I think it does need a little bit of an overhaul. I guess it unfortunately is, or depending on you how you look at it, unfortunately or fortunately, becoming that way. So that's kind of where my head's at with things, Mike. I'm kind of curious to hear your thoughts on maybe seeing some of these young cats in the lineup next season.
Yeah. I mean, you saw my reaction to the receiver thing didn't really work out with freshmen. I mean, you guys were huge Braylon James fans. I wasn't as big of I loved interacting with Braylon James, like so much fun interview and everything, but like I didn't see it as much as you guys did. And like Michaels, we love Braylon James. I didn't see it as much. So if he's going, like, yeah, immense potential for sure. But like, I haven't lost sleep over that one. Like I have Rico. Like Rico was outstanding this year, in my opinion, as a freshman. Jaden Greathouse. I mean, Jordan Faison. It was a really, I mean, those wrong receivers really stepped up. And really looking forward to seeing what Faison and Greathouse can do this year. Cam Williams, I think, will play. And I think will play a good bit this year. Not sure on Micah Gilbert. I'm a huge fan of all three of these guys. And I think it's even might be even a better of a group than last year, which is saying something. So it's a really good receiver class for the Irish. I really like Micah Gilbert. But I think Notre Dame might not need him this upcoming season. Logan Saldate might. I don't know. I think we might see Logan Saldate this season. I'm a huge
put a lot of slot receivers out there.
What's that?
If they put all slot wide receivers out there with Faison, Greathouse, Aldate.
Oh, I hear you. But you like when Chris Tyree leaves, you're kind of like, that's okay. We have Logan Saldate is kind of better than him, right? Why can't Logan Saldate be better than Jordan Faison? Like, who knows? Logan Saldate, like, so my thing is freshman, senior, I don't care, man. Like, dude, just play the best guys. That's kind of where I'm at. Play the best guys. Simple as that. If Logan Saldate is the best slot on the team, you know, in that kind of, you know, shiftier, smaller kind of slot role, Saldate at 5'11", 185 pounds, then let Saldate be the guy. That's kind of where I'm at. Do love Faison. I wouldn't be shocked personally if Saldate kind of just takes over that spot. And no, he's not enrolling early, but neither did Faison. Faison got there over the summer.
Yeah.
This past season. I'm excited about this receiver room. We'll see who they bring in along with Chris Mitchell. Again, we like Bo Collins for the Irish. Josh Kelly seems like he's probably trending towards staying, you know, closer to home on the West Coast. I'm sure they'll look to if they don't get Kelly, do they bring in someone else to get to a third receiver? Do they wait to see after spring ball, maybe, like, what the position looks like to retool the room? Remains to be seen. Crazy times right now for Notre Dame football, but yeah, man, I think Cam Williams will play, and I think he could play really anywhere at the receiver spot. Gilbert, yeah, I'm not sure if Gilbert would be like a freshman impact guy, but Logan Saldate is my sleeper maybe of this class in terms of like playing as a true freshman. So that's my take, Kyle. Don't be shocked. Logan Saldate is a guy next year. Notre Dame loves him.
Yeah, he's had an outstanding senior season. He's the last one standing in the 24-25 class right now in terms of teams playing this year. Logan Thomas just captured a state championship last weekend, and Logan Saldate is trying to do it this weekend. So,
yeah, little bit of a shorter show today. Do have one other thing to talk about. So how about Chris Mitchell from Jacksonville Mandarin has a younger brother who we talked about a lot on this program earlier in the year is John Mitchell. And it took me a few days to put this together. John Mitchell, 5'11", 175-pound cornerback, 2024 class, nation's number 131 overall player, number 19 cornerback, committed to Penn State since April, was a huge Notre Dame target. I mean, he was like the cornerback target to watch in the spring, right up there with Caleb Beasley. He committed to Penn State, took a visit to Notre Dame and everything, but did end up committing to Penn State. So when I'm like, oh, Chris Mitchell's coming to Notre Dame, John Mitchell's his little brother, I started digging around, and I think John Mitchell will be sticking with the Fighting Irish. Excuse me, sticking with the Nittany Lions. Manny Diaz is leaving Penn State. That's that was the Nittany Lions defensive coordinator. He's taking the Duke head coach position. But still, I mean, as of this morning, do not believe that Notre Dame will be able to pull off this flip. But Notre Dame has not had their in-home visit yet with Chris Mitchell in terms of Marcus Freeman. It's my understanding that they will do that home visit next week. And I'm sure John Mitchell will be there. So can they try a last-minute flip to get the brothers to reunite in South Bend? We will see. This would be huge. I mean, Notre Dame's already got a nice little cornerback class with Leonard Moore, who still kind of an underappreciated guy, don't talk about enough. Carson Hobbs, who put together a really nice senior season. It's a solid cornerback class, but if you get John Mitchell, that would make it pretty darn good. So, I don't think Notre Dame will be able to pull off this flip as things stand right now, but Still got 12 days until signing day.
This is a really intriguing recruitment for me because we had heard a lot about Notre Dame going into his visit, which was the last Saturday in March, I believe, the 25th. And there's a lot of buzz around the Irish. I know he's a guy I pegged on Commit Watch based off what I was hearing going into his visit. And, you know, that visit kind of came and went. And next weekend, I remember I was driving to South Bend, actually, for spring practice coverage. And John Mitchell popped at Penn State out of nowhere. I was like, wow, pretty surprising. But I know Manny Diaz, the D coordinator there, has really strong ties to Florida. So maybe not as surprising once you do some digging into that. But I'll be curious if Marcus Freeman does get in home with John Mitchell, because Freeman's been known to win over the parents.
Mm-hmm.
He already won over the brother. You know, John's already been to campus. There's
the parents
a little
love Notre Dame from their visit.
Yeah.
And I'm guessing they were up there with Chris too, I would assume. They were. Yeah. No, they were. Yeah, yeah, because we saw the pictures. So, yeah.
Yep. So it's like, I'm sure the parents would love to see those guys play together. Like, I mean, why would they want to go back to, I mean, John's going to be a freshman now, so.
Yeah.
But I think it'd be cool for them to see those guys team up. So Notre Dame might have a lot of things working in their corner. And I know he's a little bit quieter of a guy. So even if he were kind of trending to Notre Dame, I don't know if we would hear a ton of buzz about it. I'm sure Notre Dame would have some excitement coming out of the Goog if they were feeling better about this one. But this is an interesting one. I know we were talking last night about some of our signing day prep, and we were trying to jog through our memory a little bit. It's been such a crazy cycle, but we didn't really think there were, just off the top of our heads, many 24 or any 24 commits that.
And we lost Kyle. Okay. All right. See you, Kyle. It's good knowing you. Yeah, I think he's talking about 24 commits that have flipped to Notre Dame. Was that what it was? Kyle? All right. Maybe we lost Kyle. It's just left mid-sentence. If you're going to wait a moment for Kyle to return. While I wait, Marcel asked how many early enrollees. Right now we are looking at 15. If all of Notre Dame's signees or all of Notre Dame's commits stick with their pledge. So 15 as of right now, which would be a record for Notre Dame. What happened there, Kyle? You all right?
Yeah, I tried to bring up the 24 class and I did it in the wrong link. So I'll just go ahead and pick right back up where I left off. And
yeah, what was it? Flips to Notre Dame? Notre Dame hasn't flipped anyone yet?
So the only one, we didn't talk about this, but it was Logan Saldate coming from.
Oh, of course. State. Oregon State. Yeah, yeah.
But besides that, they have not flipped anyone into the 24 recruiting class, which I feel like Notre Dame in the past has been kind of known for pulling off a guy or two, certainly more than one. So it's like Notre Dame might be due for another guy. So we'll see what happens, man. Like I said, if Marcus gets in home there, the Mitchell household down in the Florida area, I'll be curious to see what happens. I think they're going to see Sean Sevillano in Clearwater next week. So they'll be down in the state. So that might be a good time to swing on by.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens. I will say I like that Notre Dame is giving it a shot here, because they could easily just kind of say, no, we like our corners. And I know that for a third corner, they wanted to add Caleb Beasley or Aaron Scott. And Aaron Scott committed to Ohio State. Notre Dame kept a pulse on Caleb Beasley, who's decided to stick with the Vols so far. But I do like the play Notre Dame is making here.
Sevillano, I think, might be back in Canada.
I was wondering that as well.
Yeah, I think so. Like, when I was down in actually Clearwater, where I was for Thanksgiving, all my family lives there, I was trying to see Sevillano, but he was back home. So we'll see. It's certainly intriguing. I'm happy that we have another storyline to talk about, because it's much more about transfer portal right now for Notre Dame. 12 days until National Signing Day. And Notre Dame's got the 23 commits, ranks number 9 currently. So that would be 3 straight top 10 classes for Notre Dame, which has happened once, I think, in the internet era for Notre Dame. I think it was like 05, 06, 07 or around that time. So for as long as Brian Kelly was at Notre Dame, he only signed back-to-back top 10 classes once. Marcus Freeman did it his first 2 classes and might do top 10 3 years in a row, which would be pretty impressive. So, yeah, now again, National Signing Day, 12 days away. Transfer portal, guys, I think Notre Dame will announce officially, like, hey, Chris Mitchell, Jordan Clark, like, these guys are officially part of the program. Not 100% sure what that looks like. It's kind of different every year, like when the Irish are able to announce their transfer portal guys are officially with the program. Of course, next weekend, CJ Carr will practice with the team, which is kind of crazy. Can you explain that before we sign off, Kyle, like how CJ Carr is able to practice with the team? Hold on really quick. A $50 bomb here from Ryan Elliott. Thank you so much for the generous super chat. It says, thanks for everything you guys do. I am usually not listening live due to running a small business, but the content is awesome. Wow. Well, thank you very much, Ryan. Go Irish. Yep, I got you, my friend. Just a $50 bomb. Thank you for the very generous super chat. Ryan Elliott, my man. I will leave this up on the screen. But Kyle, you want to talk about CJ Carr, how he's able to practice before even signing with Notre Dame? It's crazy.
Yeah, wow. Thanks, Ryan. That just made my day. So that's cool. I really appreciate your support. Everyone that's watching, you know, I know Mike more than me, puts a lot more time and energy to this with all the shows he does. And I know by Friday, Mike's a little run down. But yeah, really appreciate the support. But going back to CJ Carr, so there's an NCAA rule. I won't go into the specifics of the bylaw number, but basically, prospective student athletes can participate in practices if there's a vacation period. So basically, in between the fall and spring semester. So I'll just read the rule out loud just to, formality, I guess. But basically the rule states that a student athlete may practice during the official vacation period immediately preceding initial enrollment. So because CJ is going to be enrolling in January, this is why this works out. It, of course, provided the student has been accepted by the institution for enrollment in a regular full-time program, studies at the time of the individual's initial participation, and he can be no longer in the previous educational institution and has to be eligible under all institutional and NCAA requirements. So CJ checks all those
boxes. Does it bind him to Notre Dame, though? Like, I would have to, right?
That's kind of what I was wondering, because he still can't sign until the 20th, because this was the same way with Nico Iamaleva last year, because he started practicing about a week before signing day, and then Tennessee announced him. And if I'm not mistaken, I don't think CJ can play in the bowl game either.
No.
So, but I'm pretty sure he can dress, because I think Nico dressed, and Nico ended up leaving Tennessee in the winter to go play in the Polynesian Bowl. So just it's something really interesting. It's a weird rule. Notre Dame's going to take advantage of it. I think they have a little bit of more of an advantage with CJ. I think he might have wrapped up class a few weeks ago. I'm not certain about that, but
I was told his Celine's on trimesters, so it ended I think around Thanksgiving or so. It's I can't believe that this can happen. And I wish Big Lake Great with Lou Samoji were with us so I could call him and be like, Lou, has this ever happened before at Notre Dame? There's no way. Like, this has to be the first time Notre Dame's ever done this, right? Chat, do you guys know, like anyone in the YouTube live chat, has Notre Dame ever had a player before signing practice with the team, like for this bowl game?
I can't imagine. The fact that they just allowed an early enrollees, what, was it starting about a decade ago?
2005? 2005?
So, yeah, I mean, basically the early enrollees, the mid-year guys have just started. So I can't imagine that. Since that's...
I have a Lucemoji article saved right here. 2006, okay. Notre Dame had its first three early enrollees. So, yeah, I have a hard time believing that, yeah, that this has happened before. Totally, I can't really wrap my mind around it. It's like, all right, he's been accepted into school, got it, but like before signing that, unless it like does, like as soon as you practice, you're bound to the Notre Dame. But yeah, what if he practices with the team? Can he then sign with a different school? There was even the deal a few years ago where a kid could sign financial aid papers with multiple schools, and then all of those coaches, this was maybe 2016, 2017, where this was happening a lot. I don't know how much in recent years, but 2016, 2017, around that time, you could sign financial aid papers with multiple schools, and then those coaches could then comment publicly about those players, about that player, even though he hasn't like officially picked school. Recruiting's wild. That's why it's like, man, some of these recruiting rules, they just keep changing every year. So it's like, what even is set in stone? So for people asking about transfer portal stuff, rewind. We've been live for 45 minutes, so we talked about some of the stuff earlier in the show. But that is going to wrap it up. Thank you again, Ryan Elliott, for the very generous $50 super chat. I hope you have a great rest of your day and weekend. And I hope that the Irish give you some good news, hopefully, on Riley Leonard, the Duke transfer quarterback, who we are keeping close tabs on here at Blue and Gold. I've been projecting him to Notre Dame really since before he even entered the portal. So I'm definitely going to keep an eye on that. Well, Kyle, great work today as always, my friend. Hope everyone enjoyed today's stream. We had tons of YouTube streams this week. A couple with Tim Hyde, one with Goolsby last night. So if we haven't scratched your Notre Dame itch, go watch some of those other shows as well. Please hit the thumbs up on this video before you get out of here. Appreciate you guys supporting our channel and making us part of your day. Thank you all very much, and we'll catch you next time.